Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Come with me on a journey into the mind, into the misunderstood and mysterious world of neurodiversity, into a place of daring discovery and desperate darkness, but also, you know, fun. Come with me if you dare, into the universe.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to, I was going to say Epic Things then. That's another podcast I sometimes do. Welcome to Into the Neuroverse. Into the Neuroverse, where I go on a journey into my neurodiversity, you see, and possibly yours, if you're lucky. And with me is lovely Jamie Firth, my friend. Hello, Jamie.
Hello.
My friend. I think, you know what, I think just jumping straight in there, and actually this is the topic we're going to talk about, so it's great, this is good. The whole friend, the way I said my friend then reminds me of this odd man who's a comedy promoter. I won't say who he is, he's an odd man, any comedian probably knows what I'm talking about, and I think he must be very neurodiverse, but I don't know, that's wrong, isn't it? Because I don't think you have very neurodiverse or less neurodiverse, you just have different neurodiverse. But anyway, I always remember him. I was walking down the hill and he saw me and I said, hello. And he went, and he was carrying like loads of mad stuff. Like, do you know when someone's just carrying things and you sort of think you probably don't need half of those things. Does that make sense?
What are we talking
like,
about?
Someone looks like they're moving
out. I need to know
out.
Now.
Like
I
a poster. I mean, he was going to a comedy promotion gig, I guess.
So he was just carrying the tools of his trade then.
But it was like, oh, you probably could have left that there, you know, that kind of like when you're walking up the street with just like 30 things on you, bags and hats and things, and you think surely one of those could have, I don't know, I'm sure there's a better way to do this. I mean, I would have also been him carrying all that stuff at many times in my life. God, it reminds me of when I was meant to be rehearsing on this play, on this show of my own, and I got one of the, with the axe turned up and he had a car and I went, oh, do you mind just taking a load of my stuff with me to the charity shop? Like, before we started rehearsals, and we were about an hour and a half out of rehearsals, taking all this stuff to a charity shop. I mean, that's just rude, isn't it, with hindsight?
People often don't really understand the glamour of the industry, do they? You don't.
It's rude. It's bad for the show. So it's bad for me. It's ruining rehearsal. Okay, so bang, bang, bang. Anyway, I remember this man walking up the hill towards me, carrying all this stuff. And I went, oh, hello. And he sort of did this. He was obviously, his head was going through a lot of stuff. He was obviously on some kind of little journey at the time, his mind rather than his head. And he turned around and he went, my friend, it's my friend.
He couldn't remember your name.
Remember my name. That's bang on true. But also, it was such an odd way. My friend, it was very sweet, very sweet, but also quite weird. Right, that was a long introduction, unnecessary tangent. But this week, so big change in the show. Big change in the show. Probably very little change. Probably people won't really notice the difference. I mean, that's insulting to you, Jamie, isn't it now? But
I mean, we're so unconfident about the format that why not play with it every week?
What it is like, I should explain this to people who haven't listened before. So I am diagnosed with ADHD and I think I have autism. That is a long-term goal to find out somehow through the podcast, but we haven't set that. We haven't worked out the parameters of that, have we, how that works? So we need to look at that at some point, probably, but not today. Anyway, ADHD, an autistic person here, you know, not unlikely I'm dyspraxic. I don't think I'm dyslexic. So I've got three of the four. I think there's more. We need to look into that, Jamie. We need to do some research on. We actually need. Big point. We don't know what we're talking about, but we're here to share my experiences of living in a neurotypical world. I only found out a few years ago, and it sort of made me go, "Oh my God, I've been living my life, you know, in sort of this strange, slightly terrified, uncomfortable way because I don't feel I fit in." And now I'm like, "Oh, actually, I'm okay as I am, and I just need more tools to navigate the world." Or I just need to go, fuck off, world. Here I am. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. That's from a song. So come on, Colin, back up. I'm quite tired. I didn't think I'd be this tired. I thought I was ready to go. We should talk about that at some point, just how tiredness affects the neurodiversity so much, so much. Anyway, so changing the format a little bit. Normally I do a long chat at originally it was just me doing a big written piece, semi-written, slightly improvised about a thing to music, which people loved. Nothing wrong with that. People loved it. However, obviously, as anyone with half a brain would tell you, that requires a lot of work and organization. Not someone with ADHD who's already trying to do a lot of things. For a living, I'm a comedian, an actor, writer, dancer, and I need to constantly be trying to generate work to make money. So, you know, I've just given myself a lot to do. Anyway, along comes my old friend Jamie, my Mr. Tumnus, if you will, my friend. What if that man was me? Maybe that man was me in the future. It felt like one of those Twilight episodes, you know what I mean? Twilight Zone episodes, not Twilight episodes. We didn't fall in love. But yes, Jamie, my friend, who is neurotypical, we believe.
It's
now got to the point where we have to diagnose you with neurotypicality, I think.
Yes.
You need to get that diagnosis urgently because it's really fucking up your life, pal. And I talk about these things, different elements of life, and Jamie is going to give his opinion. So it's going to be the same kind of show, essentially, but it just won't... Unless I sit down and go, oh, I've just written this wonderful piece of journaling that I must give out to the world, you know, then maybe we'll bring that little feature of me talking to music back. But if not, but generally it's just going to be me and Jamie chatting for 45 minutes. And then we're going to do three a month. And then at the end of the month, bring on a guest is the plan. But with any ADHD people, you can't hold them to that. So there we go. That was a long introduction.
It's the plan for today.
That was a long, quite boring introduction, but it was a lot of it. It's the plan for today. It'll probably change next week. It will change next week.
It was a boring introduction. I did enjoy the man walking down the hill. I thought that was... I can't remember. Were you walking down the hill or up the hill? I can't remember. It's probably...
I was walking down. He was coming up.
Okay.
Coming up. Really odd guy. I mean, that's a whole thing to talk about another day, isn't it? It's like when you realize neurodiverse, people who you think of as odd or difficult are often neurodiverse and struggling, and don't know how to respond. But then that opens, and this isn't me trying to be PC or anything, not that I mind the whole PC thing, but like, I'm not trying to go, oh, we should probably say this, not this, or anything like that. But it's like, I don't want to tread on eggshells here. You can call me odd if you must, but it's like, yeah, do we have to re-examine? I'm having to re-examine my whole way of looking at people, particularly if people are rude or odd to me. I go, oh, there's something else going on with you there, isn't there? Whereas before, I would have taken that rudeness on and got really upset and it would have spoiled my day, you know? Anyway, that's a whole other thing to think about because that's not what we're talking about today. Today, we're talking about friendship. Friends. My friend. And do you remember my show, Carnival of Monsters?
Only very vaguely. It was before I truly knew you.
Right. Well, to make this, again, to bring this back to me, I mean, it's all about me, isn't it? But I had a character in it who was he was essentially Frankenstein's monster from the old, you know, Boris Karloff. But I just had a balaclava on. Somehow it really worked, like this black suit and a balaclava kind of, it was Frankenstein. The magic of theatre. He just appeared. No, but I'd come on. Rawr, rawr, and they'd be like, friend, to the audience. You know, it was really weird. Weirdly, that was before that man had said friend to me. I think my Uncle Keith used to say it. I think that's where it came from. He used to watch, we used to watch Universal Monsters together, which are the, and I'm still obsessed with them, the Wolfman and Dracula and Frankenstein. And I think a lot of people are, do you know what? I definitely think the Universal Monsters, because there's this weird cult. I don't know if you call it cult. At the time, obviously, they were massive in the 40s when they came out. But then since then, there's still these people who are, who love them and obsess over them, a bit like me. And I definitely think that is neurodiverse people somehow finding this relationship, this mirroring with these weird creatures, because they're all sort of sympathetic, you know. The Wolfman becomes the Wolfman by accident. He doesn't want to be, you know, and in the end he makes them kill him, I think, doesn't he? I think they shoot him and he's like, you know, it's a kind of like, you got to kill me before I change again kind of thing. Frankenstein, obviously just a big baby, you know. I mean, Dracula is sinister. He is an evil guy, isn't he? But ultimately he is again cursed. He didn't ask for it. He became a vampire and he's just living, doing the best he can with it.
Man's got to eat, I think.
Man's got to eat, yeah.
What are you going to do?
Man's got to eat.
Every morning he gets up. Oh, I've got to do this again today.
You do not realize, Mr. Harker, man's got to eat. That's how it ends. And it just closes up on his face smiling. Actually, that's a really, it's not great Dracula one, I'm afraid, the Bela Lugosi one. It's 1931, it's too old. It's too cranky and, you know. But Frankenstein, that first Frankenstein, A Bride of Frankenstein, mwah! Genuinely some of the best films ever made, I think. Wonderful.
I resaw the Bram Stoker's Dracula, the Gary Oldman one.
Oh, yeah. Good
Gary
film.
Oldman, I always get confused with Gary Oldman and Gary Newman, and it's Newman Oldman. I don't know why.
Have you said that joke before, or is that
probably?
Okay.
I talk a lot about Gary Oldman, I guess. It's not great, but it's a bit silly. But
I thought it was dreadful.
Yeah,
I was very disappointed, and then confession here. Okay. I got a little bit stoned. Wow. Can't believe I said that. This was a long time ago. Okay. I don't do that shit anymore. No, but I got stoned on sort of by accident. Can't bother to go into that story. But and watched it one night in my mum's house. It was on telly. And it clicked for me. And it clicked for me the moment where you see the train. You see a train going through and it's clearly a model. And it's kind of a shaky model. And it's the whole thing. I don't think it 100% works, but the whole thing is a kind of love letter to those movies. I think Coppola's probably a neurodiverse Universal Monsters fan in my take. But he, the whole thing is this kind of glorious homage. That's why it's kind of mad and ramped up. I mean, Keanu Reeves' accent is unfortunate, you know, but even that sort of fits in the way, like in the old Wolfman, you've got Lon Chaney Jr. plays, "Hi, I'm here from Bedford," or wherever it is. He's meant to be like, but in those films, what I love is they're set in this imaginary world that's sort of Germany and Britain and America at the same time. It's kind of like American. And then they're like, the Burgermeister is here.
Stuff like that.
Which I love all that, because they've got to have the whole town going out of pitchforks and stuff, you know. I wonder whether the pitchforks thing and the burning torches, you know, with Frankenstein, it all fits into that sense of like, I'm neurodiverse, I'm weird. The mob are going to, do you know what I mean? If I don't fit in.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, he does drown a girl accidentally. Not cool. But yeah. But I did this whole, friend, pretty friend. And it's like, friend, one dance with friend, and sort of dancing with the audience member. It was one of my, that whole show, I found it the other day and read through it. And I was like, oh my God, this is one, I'm clearly quite unwell when I'm writing this. Like there's a lot of very depressive stuff in it. It's funny. Mm. It's really, like I was really, you know, you see something genuinely proud of yourself. And also, it's clearly me trying to explain neurodiversity.
Many years before.
Yeah. Which makes you think maybe we don't need all these labels, because maybe they're actually, spoil art.
Speaking of labels, I came across Neurospicy this week, and I'm not sure how I feel about it. And
Neurospicy?
Neurospicy, it's a sort of fun way of talking about neurodiversity. People self-identifying as neurospicy.
What is it in a hashtag way? Very much in a hashtag way.
Yeah.
Right. And what don't you like? You don't like it's.
I don't know. I don't know whether it's.
It feels uncouth.
Yes. But it's one of those, if it's a self-identified thing, then, you know, everyone feel free.
It's taking ownership though, isn't it? Because what often happens when you talk to people, and this has changed literally over the 2 or so years that I've sort of had the diagnosis, is when you start talking about it, you really want to talk about it. You know, I have the joke about, in my show, that one of the symptoms of ADHD is you tell everyone you meet you've got ADHD, and it really is a thing. But you, what's changed is people are kind of like, no, you're not, you're all right, you're okay. Do you know? And like, and I think people are starting to accept by saying to me like, yeah, I'm neurospicy. It's kind of saying, no, it's okay. Like it just explains me. It doesn't, it's not like, oh no, I'm sorry, how long do you have left kind of thing, you know, or like, oh, that must be awful for you. I mean, don't get me wrong. Many times it is awful, you know. It is stressful, but it's. I am starting to see the power of it. So you don't. So where did you see NeuroSpicy?
I think I've seen it online. I think I saw it on Twitter. We're still calling it Twitter, aren't we? I'm still calling it Twitter.
It will always be Twitter. Yeah, I'm doing all right on Instagram at the minute. I'm trying. This is very. Dull social media thing to say. I'm doing all right on Instagram, and I can't wait to the point where I've got more Instagram followers than Twitter. Then I think I am just going to leave Twitter because it's so unpleasant.
I've enjoyed it so much. Like I found a lot of friends there. And it's very sad where it's gone. But I've used it very little, like in the last kind of few months.
It's like going to a rally or something now, isn't it? It's like having a look in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you guys are here. Okay, I'll probably leave then. It's like going to a party and a load of racists have been invited.
I think the big change for me was when they introduced that tab where it's like suggested for you rather than the people that you follow anymore.
Horrible.
And it defaults to that page. So every time you open it, you're like, you're reading through it and you don't notice for a while. And then you think, I'm seeing a lot of crazy things that I don't think I. Why am I seeing this? Because that's what I'm being pushed towards.
And the For You stuff is like the worst stuff you'd ever want.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I find generally just really like, and that's.
I don't know.
We're getting onto Twitter. So
I don't know who it's for, but it's not for me.
But you saw NeuroSpicy, and you did. So that's interesting. And please take no shit. I'm not trying to. Have a go at you for this in any way, but like as a neurotypical people, why is that annoying? What? Because I think
I'm not saying it's annoying.
No, but there is this. Well, there is this sort of backlash already to self-identifying. I'm not sure what my opinion on self-identifying is, by the way. Other than I guess I now self-identify as autistic. I was about to say, but I don't really tell people about it. But I'm literally on a podcast talking about it. But I was at a thing back home and there was someone who I knew, and she was saying, someone I sort of grew up around, but she was like, they were having just a general conversation. It was one of those things, you know, those conversations with people, this sounds so elitist, but back home, you know, when you go back home and family members and so on are there, and it's like people are fishing to see what you'll agree with. So she's like, what do you think about its neurodiversity then? Oh, yeah, yeah. But the self-identifiers, I mean, they're just crazy, aren't they? You know, it's that kind of thing. And like, you know what I mean? Like fishing to see if what I can get away with saying kind of thing, or what people will turn on me for. But anyway, she was very against.
Well, surely self-identifying is just the bit before you get a diagnosis.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. It's sort of going, oh, yeah, that is me. You know, that is definitely me. It's such a realization when you get it, but I think people are equating it with all sorts of stuff, like almost like people finding God or whatever, I suppose it's, I don't know, that sense of, do you know what I mean? That like it's a delusional thing.
Have you done that as well? We're going to have to start another podcast.
Yeah. Finding God. Or Goddess. I looked, that was on The Traitors. Do you watch The Traitors?
I do
I
not
want to talk about The Traitors one day. All right, watch The Traitors and then let's do an episode on that because it's fucking great. Everyone's doing episodes on it, but it is, in terms of the way brains work and the way humanity interacts, it's wonderful. It's incredible. But there was a bit maybe laugh where this woman said she's like I'm a Christian, so you know I believe in God, and this guy went, oh, goddess, and she went, yeah, sure. And I thought, well, it's not though, is it? Because you're Christian, so it can't be. But anyway, bless them, they're all lovely. So right, come on, we're 20 minutes in. We've only got 25 minutes left.
Yes. So
I asked you a question which I haven't let you answer. Did you want to answer it? Why are you so prejudiced against neurotypicals?
Yes. And I mean, you know, every time you say neurotypical, it's a dagger through my heart. You know, it's a dreadful, dreadful slur.
Do you think that's what's going to happen in some sort of like, you know, Arthur C. Clarke type sci-fi, or everyone's going to get this neurodiversity where everyone's going to realize the neuro, and then neurotypical people, it's like the X-Men, isn't it? The normals are just going to be left behind.
Yeah. I think everybody needs like a score out. Out of 10. If we just give everyone a score out of 10.
And then... Yeah. And the lower ones are just going to not be allowed to breed or anything. And all the full on neurodiverse people are just going to rule the world and fuck. And you'll be carrying all that shit.
Yeah. I'll be going up in all the 30 items under my arm.
So lovely. What a beautiful future. Yes. On that note, can I just recommend, if you're a comic fan, anyone, you must read the Krakoa era of the X-Men. Oh my God. Because I've just clicked. I think that's kind of what it's all about, what I just said.
Okay.
It's great. We're talking thousands of pages here. It's been going on for 5 years. It's just coming to an end now. But anyway, so this is about friendship. The thing I think this will probably be a many-parter, or we'll come back to it at least. I've always struggled with friendship. I've struggled with keeping friends. I've struggled with sort of believing friends. I've struggled with just remembering friends. So, Jamie, I only got in touch with you recently. Hadn't spoke to you for ages. You're pretty cool with that, I think, and you're quite happy to just pick up the baton whenever I get in touch, aren't you? You're not like, oh, right, you didn't bother speaking to me for ages. Not that anyone's like that. But, right, let me very quickly get my thoughts on this. But what I want to talk about specifically, because I think it's an ongoing thing, is I saw a thing about Donald Trump the other day. I can't remember now where I saw it or who said it, but it was someone who had met him, and they said about him, all his relationships are transactional.
Right.
Which I found, it really gave me a shudder. I found it very, you know. And I obviously, I very much dislike Donald Trump, but I think I can see elements of me in him, or him in me, where I, to the point where when I was in Edinburgh last time, I took a photo of myself and went, oh God, I look like Donald Trump, didn't I? From the side. And I sort of weirdly do a little bit, and like loads of people, I was expecting everyone to go, no. I put it on Twitter when I was still on Twitter. People were like, oh yeah, you do a bit. And someone like drew him, his face around my face. And I was like, oh, fuck off. But anyway, I can definitely see connections in the, cause he's charismatic. He's funny. I know I'm saying I'm charismatic and funny, but you know, I am a comedian. I know how to go out and improvise when he's doing those speeches. I can see it's not a million miles away from like what I did last night at the gig when I came out and just kind of like got them all on my side by the end and kind of joint little japes, and do you know what I mean? And even the sort of slightly dog whistly thing, which I don't do dog whistling, but I do what is called mock decorum, which is what Frankie Howard used to do, which you really enjoy, of just you tell a joke, then sort of point at someone and go, oi, ow, come on, you know, yes. Or that's too much or whatever. I just find that kind of thing very funny. He does that basically, you know, he goes, no, come on. He does do that. He'll make a... Yeah. But he'll do it in a horrible dog whistling way of like, oh no, we have to trust them, don't we? Oh yeah, we have to do the thing here. We have to blah, 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 you know, and all that sort of thing. So I can see a connection there. And then this transactional thing, and I was just realizing, fuck, even like with you, you know, you work on my shows and you do this with me and you, and I'm here in Froome right now. That's why this, if the sound isn't great, that's why. Supporting Jonathan Pye, who is my old friend from uni, and his show's great, by the way. Gotta say, his new show is really very good. But I but even there, like he I help him a bit sometimes with his stuff. And I guess he's using me in that sense. But I got in touch with him because I was like, oh, have you got any gigs coming up? Because I want to do loads of gigs. And he was like, oh, yeah, come and support me at these things, you know. And then I said, by the way, we could meet up and just have a coffee at some point. That's fine. I felt like I had to say that because I just, not because of him, because of me, as in because I never think to do that. Do you know what I mean? Or just call people. And I really envy these people and just call to people. Or, you know, people who have a best friend or people who are like, that person will be my best man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll never be anyone's best man, right? That sounds very sad, but it's not really even a slight on me. It's not that I think people don't like me or anything. I just don't think anyone can ever be a friend with me in that sense, because everything becomes, I either forget about them or it becomes transactional or whatever. So yeah, there's a lot of thoughts there.
And in terms of a wedding, you really do want them to be on point, don't you? Like, you do it on time, bring a ring. That's, you know.
Oh, that's a good point, actually. Yeah.
You've got specific tasks. So do you think it would be a trust issue?
Very specific tasks. That's true, actually. I guess you do. That is a point. You do also want someone who is organizational.
Mm. Is that why you think that you wouldn't be? Or is it that you, have you struggled?
That has never occurred to me. It's only that I think. And it's not like, woe is me. I just think no one sees me as that person.
Mm.
I think my best friend when I was like a teenager back home, who I'm still in touch with and I'm going to see soon, I think we had the closest thing to being that kind of thing. But it's almost like as soon as he, and this is what, it does genuinely sort of frighten me a bit because it is very Donald Trumpian, I think. But like as soon as he like didn't, I think, did I talk about him last time doing acting? And he, yeah, that guy. So he didn't come away to uni with me, or do you know what I mean? And it was almost like, oh, you're no good to me anymore. That I didn't have that thought. But looking back, I think that's sort of what happened. It's sort of like, oh, right, on this journey I'm on, and maybe we talk about narcissism as well as ADHD here, but I just kind of, you know, I'm not saying I just dumped him, but I don't know. I guess I moved on. But I would love to have that. You know, when people talk about, oh, that's the person I'd die for and they die for me. You know, a guy I met called, I was going to say my friend, actually, I don't really know. But again, same thing. But an actor I met called John Schwab, who weirdly I'd seen in the Reduced Shakespeare Company when I was like 16. And that was, he was an inspiration for me. Mm. And then I met him on a job. That was a weird thing. But he said, you've got to have those three, you know, two to five people, I think he said, who if you were to suddenly end up in hospital with a serious thing, people call them and they'll know what to do.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And they'll know who to call and they'll sort everything out and they'll blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't have that at all. I have loads and loads and loads of people, like almost worlds of people. But none of them really. But at the moment, like you at the minute, because you're doing this with me, are that person for me. It's like, oh, talk to Jamie about that. Oh, message Jamie about that. Do you know what I mean? You're constantly in my life at the minute.
Yeah.
But I'll drop you like a stone. but you know, which I think, but I think, I won't drop you like, but I joke, but it's like, we've been in and out. We do a lot of stuff and then I just don't speak to you for months, do I? And I just really would love that. I mean, I also have a wife and my children. I don't know.
You need to give them some attention.
Yes. No. But we have a very, I think my wife is my best friend. I know that's a very cheesy thing to say, but, and has been around. We've been together 15 years, been married 15 years, been together longer. But so we do have, I guess I do have that there and that consistency there. But yeah, and I do have people who I know I mean a lot and they mean a lot to me, but it is genuinely a thing, you know, and it is an ADHD thing where you do find it hard to stay with groups of friends or to commit. I mean, with commitments, it's also, I often think about a look, you know, I can never commit to what kind of clothes I wear, or I always think like a tattoo. I'd love to have a tattoo, but I can never commit to what I am enough or who I am enough to have a tattoo. Do you know what I mean?
It's quite permanent as well.
That is me. It's very permanent. I can't believe people do it.
Yes.
I mean, they're cool, but like, they're very cool. Anyway,
it depends on how.
I will shut up now. I
mean, if you've got like a tear tattooed on your eyeball, you know that's
very telling, isn't it?
Hard to take back, really, isn't it? It's interesting you say about transactional, because when you gave the example of that 2 to 5 friends that, you know, if you're on your deathbed or in hospital, they'd know what to do. It's like, I would have said they're the people that you would want to come to the hospital and be there, you know, supporting you. But it was interesting that you said that they would know what to do, like who to call. And
oh, yeah. What, so you mean that is transactional?
It sounds like it, yeah.
No, I don't think that's what he meant. I think he meant they will be there at the hospital, but I think he meant they're the people who will drop everything for you, is what he means.
Right.
So as in, they will go, okay, Jamie's in trouble. Everything stops. We do everything we need to do to help Jamie, kind of thing.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I don't think he was saying, no, I don't think it is transactional. It's not like they've signed a deal.
No, I just thought it was like, I thought it sounded like your mind had gone straight to, like, you know, the sort of the tasks that they would be doing rather than the sort of the general sort of outpouring of love that you'd want in that situation.
Oh God, maybe. Yeah.
I should say again, not a therapist, just an observation, could be completely wrong.
Well, that's all we have. That's all everyone has, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm very lucky to have you.
Well,
most people don't.
For now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So, what's your take on friendship? How do you perceive your own friends? Does it give you any problems, or is it you don't even really think about it, or whatever?
It's interesting because I'm here as the neurotypical versus your neurodiverse, and every single time I keep thinking, well, I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit similar.
Yeah.
Because my partner is my absolute best friend. We've been together a long time. We spend like most of our time together. I don't know if they're transactional friends, but I have like a group of friends from home, you know, from years and years back, a close group of friends that I play Fantasy League with, like, and just talk about sport and films and all sorts. And that's a sort of, that's now a WhatsApp group. We all live kind of far away. There's 4 of us, 1 in America, a couple in the Midlands, and I'm down in the Southwest. So we don't see each other nearly as much as we'd like. But WhatsApp's been quite good for that, because we've kind of, you know, I would say every day there's a few messages back and forth, and it's good fun. But in terms of actual friends, I have a similar thing. I don't have a lot of kind of close friends, I wouldn't say.
Yeah. But what you have there sounds wonderful.
It's a very nice thing to have. Yes. Cause it's a constant. It's something that I know is there, and that won't go away for me.
So you do have that. They are your John Schwab friends, I'd say.
Yes. They're just sort of imaginary friends now. They're not three-dimensional anymore. They live only on the internet.
Yeah. But I think that is it. That is the thing, because I think very few people, because we all move around, you know, and unless, well, we move around our sort of business and that, we don't tend to stay where we were brought up and stuff. I suppose a lot of people do, you know, and then I guess they are around their same friends all the time. And then I guess there's the opposite problem where you're sort of stuck with these friends that you haven't really chosen in the same way, maybe, you know?
Yeah, I think we're quite lucky that we've all sort of evolved and not changed too much, that we have the same relationship that we did when we were like, the 4 of us were 16.
You and your mates. That's great. So I do have, to be fair, I am on like a WhatsApp group. I've got a few. Again, I've got like my friends who I went to university with. I've got my old friends. And I've got like my parent friends at the minute. And I like all those people, but I find it very, I feel like I'm on the outside throwing stuff in. And this is more a WhatsApp problem, I suppose, but I'll say something and then immediately feel like I've said the wrong thing or they won't get that joke. Do you feel, I suppose you don't feel that you, because with this friends group, you feel pretty kind of,
with those guys, I can say pretty much anything. And I know that they will instinctively understand it. Other people, I think it is harder.
Yeah. But that's more dealing with people you don't really know. And that's the whole, not seeing their face and all that kind of, it's not a very, but what I'm saying is even with my oldest friends who we went through teenage years together and a lot of stuff there, and they come to my shows and everything. And I think, I don't know if we'd ever say we love each other. It's not really that kind of thing, but I guess we do. But even there, it's like, even very embarrassingly, they were coming down. And I got so stressed because I said they were joking about this falafel shop or something, and I suggested somewhere, and they were saying this other place, and I left the group in anger. It was sheer sense of like not belonging to that group, and I saw them all afterwards, and then we still met up that day. They all came down to where I live, and it was like, it was really awkward because I'd obviously had this kind of weird hissy fit, and I couldn't tell why. I couldn't tell what happened. I just immediately felt an outsider, and I can't even remember what it was I said, but something wronged me within the WhatsApp group, and I just left the group.
You fell out over chickpeas.
So mental. Looking back, not a great word to use, but and then we just had to spend that. We had a night out together with this awkward thing that I'd left the group and then joined again and gone, oh yeah, I'm not sorry, I just got a bit, I mean, to be fair, they were trying to understand, that was in the early stage of self-awareness where I was understanding depression, which I'd never thought I'd had. And then I was understanding like neurodiversity, and I've got to say, generally at the minute, me and my wife are talking about it. I generally am, just in terms of this podcast having worth, or the whole thing having worth, is like, I am much happier.
Right.
The self-awareness and the sort of understanding is just day to day, I'm much happier. So that's, I guess, why I'm going back and trying to, and I did, to that group of friends, I did send like a WhatsApp message at like 3 a.m. or something because I couldn't sleep. Just sort of one of those, I wasn't even drunk or anything, just one of those sort of like, I just got this overwhelming sadness that we didn't really see each other anymore, and they were all really nice and responding. And a couple of them were like, are you okay? I think it must have been quite a intense message because a couple were like, do you need to talk and all this? Can I call you and all this stuff, which I didn't because I was like, but it wasn't meant to be a cry for help. It was a genuine like, philosophical, or well, I don't know if philosophical is the right word, but like an existential moment of just like, here we are, our lives have ended up far away, and I just want to, so I guess it got either I walk away from people and just drop them and forget about them, blah, 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 or it's the opposite and I'm like too much and they don't really know how to deal with it. And then I probably get hurt from that and walk away. So it's this weird cycle.
I suppose my relationship with my very close friends, like that for years and years, has probably made it difficult for me to make new friends in a way, because I kind of have the habit of, most of what I say is a joke. It's like, yeah. I'm just being like silly most of the time. And they understand that completely. So I've got used to being able to be like that. But then when you do it with someone new, like it takes a long time to click. It's interesting with our friendship. Yeah. I don't think we haven't discussed it.
You and me.
Yeah. So when we were kind of becoming friends, I think I actually found it quite difficult to click with you because I think you didn't see that everything I was saying was ironic or like, being silly. And weirdly, I think I always felt like I clicked with Anna better than I clicked with you for quite a while. Because maybe because
Anna, my character.
Yeah, maybe because that was straightforward and that was you doing the same thing. That was you kind of saying silly things and not kind of being serious.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything in that.
No, I think that's very interesting. And I think weirdly what I have done, it sounds very grandiose, but I have like let Anna be infused in me. I think not just... I think I've accepted that is a part of me and a part that I really like, and rather than go, and that's why I'm quite happy doing this stand up as myself and just letting Anna in, and just, suddenly like within the stand up, I just start talking really posh and like,
yeah,
and people just seem to accept it. But I think, within day-to-day life, I've sort of accepted it in myself as well. And I've finally sort of gone and, yeah, that whole, you know what it is with you constantly doing jokes and stuff, which weirdly on this episode you haven't done at all, I don't think. Okay. Only done a couple, but like that's not a slight, you know. But yeah, it is what it is. I think it's interesting. I think what I used to have, and I don't have it anymore, but it's like this kind of no we're not doing that now, do you know what I mean? We're talking about this thing. No, what, stop making jokes, why is he doing that? Do you know what I mean? It's this, and I've sort of got this thing, who does it remind me of? Ramesh, maybe. I think I was working with him the other day, and he does this thing where he lets people really make him laugh. And I've started to do that and just let people really make me laugh. And I guess it's partly like, it's not all about you, it's not about your thing. This person is making a joke right now, and I, you know, even on stage I never corpsed or anything. I was always very able to not let that affect me, and I'm just letting it in again, and it's wonderful. And like, it sounds fake. It's not like I'm going, ha, 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 you know. But there is an element of that, of just like accepting, and you like to do those little jokes all the time. And it's wonderful. And I've come to accept it. I used to find it very difficult with my old double act partner because he was constantly doing them all the time. I guess the slight difference is sometimes, and I don't mean this to sound harsh on him, but sometimes his jokes were quite harsh. Whereas yours tend to be quite jolly and just kind of, you know, yeah, yeah. So those jokes are sometimes, is that actually having a go at me? I can't tell, you know. Whereas your jokes are very jolly and, yeah. So I think that's what's happened. But I think now I've kind of, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Again, wonderful, the wonderful world of self-awareness, a bit more self-awareness is like, oh, there's this great thing where like people are making jokes all the time, and that's great, isn't it? And what a better world that is. Here's a guy. When I say all this stuff, this isn't like, well, that part is kind of conscious, but generally it's not conscious. It's not like I've sat here and gone, he's doing that, he shouldn't do that. But I think there is this like, the transactional thing, you've come on board in my life. I can't remember how you came into my life, through Lucy, obviously.
Yes, through my partner.
I guess I can say Lucy's name, can I? I'm sure, does she mind?
You can, yes. She'll deny it.
I just did. So I met her first on a job. So when did you come in? You just came into my life, Jamie.
I arrived with her,
I think. You came into my life, and now you've took it over, and it's beautiful. But yeah, I can't remember where we actually started talking about things. I guess it was through the plays. So you work on Lucy's plays. I have those plays, I think.
Yes.
I just chatted to you about, I guess, do you know what it is? It's almost like, I'm trying to decipher this myself, but maybe there's some autistic thing where it's like the first impression, and it's very hard to shake it off. So the first thing you came on board literally going, I can't remember, but I'm guessing, saw my show and had some interesting thoughts. And I go, oh, Jamie's good for helping with that. Again, the transactional thing. He can be my friend. Well, not even friend, but he can be a person who gives me thoughts on my show, because I sort of trust him. I do. I've always instinctively trusted your take on stuff, because it's not it's not like, you know, sometimes you get people who give notes and stuff and they're like, yeah, what you need to do is, and they're obviously a no-no, you know, because that's their thing. They're not embracing your thing and you know, making it better or just sort of giving thoughts. So I guess maybe I took you on board, so to speak, in my friend catalog, as, you know, you know, special skills helps with thing. And then you do jokes and I'm like, well, no.
Yes, not, you can't do that.
No,
as well.
There's other people do that. But actually I do that. Actually, I think you'll find I do that. But it's like, it is this revelatory thing. And I don't know if, I hope this comes across. I hope you feel this. But I feel much more now like our friendship is more just like, well, it moves around and it's fluid.
Yeah.
Not like, you are the man.
You're the man that does this.
Tells me, who gives me notes on shows and nothing else. Which I think maybe when you came camping with me, I sort of went, oh. I mean, yes. It sounds insane when I lay it out. But it is like, oh, here's a human being as well. It's like, I think you don't eat or sleep or go to the toilet. You just exist.
I don't do any of those.
You exist. Yes, thoughts on my play.
I just go back to my tank.
Oh, God. Having said that, is that quite hurtful? Does that make me sound dreadful or in any way like?
No, not at all. No, I'm happy. I'm absolutely happy to be used in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't be. But that's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to move away from. I'm trying to make my friendship with you, you know, and Tom, who is Jonathan Pye. I think everyone knows his real name, but he essentially gives me stuff, which equates to money eventually. And it's like, which is good to have that, obviously, but I don't want to. I've known him for years. I get on very well and like him a lot, you know, and I'm like, well, actually, maybe we could just have a friendship as well.
Mm.
Even then, it's hard to say, just have a friendship. I like to say, just have a friendship as well.
Yeah.
I mean, some people would go, which I've never had this clarity of mind, would go, no, that person's my friend. I don't want to work with them. Or, I mean, again, just go back to my, you know, my double act. He was... Ferg, I can say his name, he was like my best friend at uni. And that fell apart essentially because we worked together, I think. And it's, so there's a friendship, a very strong, like we were, you know, Tweedledum and Tweedledee sort of thing. And that friendship has, I've rekindled it recently and that's good. And that's hopefully coming back. But even then I was like, oh, maybe I could suggest we write a thing together or something. And I was like, shut up, just don't do it. Just don't do it.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on the type of work. I suppose in the arts, I think you can possibly get away with it, but you'll probably fall out about something. I mean, I say in my capacity as a producer elsewhere, that I often say that there are people that I'd love to have a drink with, and there are people I'd like to work with, and very very seldomly are they the same people.
Yeah,
because they just don't mix well.
It's a bit of a road to ruin, isn't it?
Yeah,
potentially. And I hate ruin. It's like Froome. No, actually, I love Froome. I can't wait to get out there. What a lovely chat, Jamie.
Yeah.
I won't lie. I was a steam train there, wasn't I? You didn't get a lot of words in. Did you do any research? Don't worry. We're up 48 minutes. But
in that case, yes, I did a whole bunch. No, I didn't.
But we don't have time. Did you have any tidbits you were going to maybe go, don't worry if you haven't on any
I
level.
Just got the word. I got the word neurospicy, and I got that in early.
Well done. Do you know what we forgot to do? We forgot to say, please go on our Patreon or become a Patreon if you want to help this carry on, and go to patreon.com/Colin Holt. And please, please, please like and review the show on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you do, because that really helps. And no one's done it for ages. And I keep looking and it keeps coming up with the same review, which is a lovely review, but I can't quite understand what it means. It said, lives Colin's strangeness. What does that mean? Colin's strangeness. I love
it.
That's like a lyric, isn't it? Lives Colin's strangeness. From a Scott Walker late period. Lives Colin's strangeness.
You should also mention that you're iamcolinholt.com.
Iamcolinholt.com.
That's got links to all of your contact info and your dates and tour dates. You're working at the moment. You're doing things. Are you out there?
Yeah, I'm gigging away. I want more. But as soon as I actually tell people I want gigs, I tend to get loads of gigs. So it's wonderful. But this week it's nonstop gigging and it's great. I love it. And the stand-up's wonderful. And I'm doing proper gigs with it as myself now. I say proper gigs as in like the gigs I was doing as Anna. but yeah. Now as myself, a couple where they were like, we want Anna, really. And now they've finally gone, okay, fine. I guess you're probably as funny.
I guess it's this guy.
Yeah, which is quite weird and sort of sinister for me. But yeah, so please, but please do book me. There's links there. You can email me straight at colinholtcomedy@gmail.com is my sort of comedy address. So email me there and you can email us there with thoughts. Please do send us your thoughts. We haven't not really getting anything from the community. We have got quite a lot of listeners and stuff. It's lovely. But and if you don't want to, that's fair enough. But any takes or thoughts or things you want us to talk about is wonderful. Next episode, we'll hopefully be talking to lovely George Lewis, who's a lovely man. And we'll talk about what the three things we did this month: gratitude, friendship, and
the derailment train. The time sausage.
The time sausage train. Lovely. So I guess if you are neurodiverse and you struggle with these things, do let me know. But also, what I would say is just tips I have got, which may or may not work for you, is one is just when someone's doing a thing that's going against the thing you think they should be doing at that point, in a kind of like, Jamie is the person who gives me notes. Just sort of sit back, see if you can mentally sit back a sec and just go, oh, what are they actually doing? Oh, he's just telling a joke. Well, maybe I'll just laugh. And I'm not trying to force you to be something you're not. I'm not saying that or anything. But, you know, to just sort of give it a go. And it's actually very pleasant. It's often very pleasant. And then there will be time for you to talk about your thing a bit later. Someone in a thing I did see recently is like, it had these kids talking about, as a diagram, it had these kids talking about football. And then the neurodiverse person comes up and goes, I like Minecraft. And they're like, okay, we're talking about football. But then you can go, oh, right. And just kind of listen a bit or just say anything you know about football, or even just like kind of just like be there. And then at some point go, does anyone like Minecraft though? Or whatever, you know, but when it's time, when you've got a gap. And then in this diagram, someone goes, oh yeah, I like Minecraft. So then you can chat to them about Minecraft. I probably explained that very badly and wrong. I'll double check it. But yeah, so that's my little bit of advice. If you're struggling with a friendship and someone's being a bit not what you're thinking they should be doing in that moment, or what you assumed that they would be doing, just go along with what they are doing, if only for a few seconds. If you're like, actually, this is awful and boring and I hate them, then fine. That's fair enough. But just give them a chance to look at it from their perspective or from the way they're being, and try and decipher what they are actually doing, and give that a little shot. There will be time to do your thing. I think that's the other thing with ADHD. You always think there's no time. Well, if we don't talk about my play now, then that's it. End of the world. You know, but it's like, no, we could do it tomorrow. We could do it in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Great.
Right then. Got to get on.
Yeah, we must get on. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you, mate.
See you next week. See you soon.
Yes, next time.
Thank you, buddy. All right, I'm stopping recording now.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.